FHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Delays and cancellations piling up at airports as the government shutdown enters its seventh day. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
We are seeing air traffic control staffing issues now several days in a row, often in places that don't typically have staffing issues, like here in Phoenix.
President Trump says he won't let lawsuits in places like Oregon and Illinois stop him from sending in federal troops to tackle crime.
We're going to make Chicago really great again. And we're going to stop this crime. Then we're going to go to another one, and we're going to go city by city. We're going to have safe cities.
Demonstrators in Chicago accuse federal agents of using excessive force. Today marks 2 years since Hamas attack on Israel that killed around 1,200 people. CBS's Deborah Patta from the site of the Nova Music Festival.
The main memorial is being organized by bereaved families and not the government, reflecting deep division over Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's leadership.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Proposed legislation would specify the time period for repeat OWI offenders to be able to apply for occupational licenses. Joanne Krulotz has more.
Right now, the Wisconsin DOT may permanently revoke or suspend the driver's license of anyone who commits four or more of certain traffic offenses on crimes, including operating while intoxicated. Revocation periods vary, and courts may also order suspensions. Suspended or revoked individuals may apply for an occupational license, but there's a waiting period before eligibility, and that can vary depending on the underlying violation. A bill being circulated by Republican lawmakers would allow those whose driving privileges are suspended or revoked to be eligible for an occupational license after the first 180 days of the revocation has elapsed. Those drivers would be required to have a functioning ignition interlock device in their vehicles.
Gas prices are going down in Wisconsin, but up in other parts of the country. Here's Lisa Hale.
Gas prices continue their downward trajectory, falling 5.5 cents per gallon in Wisconsin in the last week. The state's average is now $2.77 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy. Nationally, the average price for a gallon of gas is $3.08. Patrick DeHaan, who heads petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said OPEC agreed to boost oil production over the weekend, but a refinery fire outside of Los Angeles will cause prices to increase in the western states.
Prices in central Wisconsin range from $2.51 to $2.66 per gallon. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News. You can catch the daily news roundup as a podcast at WFHR.com.
Another Brewers comeback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers with a 7-3 win over the Cubs last night in Milwaukee. The crew now up 2-0 in the best of five series, which now moves to Chicago tomorrow afternoon, just after 4 o'clock. Manager Pat Murphy.
How does this team have the best record in baseball? Nobody predicted they'd be over 500. And then we have all the injuries. Certainly nobody was banking on us.
Home runs from Andrew Vaughn, Jackson Churio, and William Contreras. This says he dedicates it to the fans.
I'm going to do everything for the Brewer fans. I'm going to do everything for my teammate. I want to be one of the best on the plate. I want to be the best catcher. They have to look control how play. I want to bring that energy too for the team. And now it's showtime.
The Cubs now down 2-0.
After getting off to a great start, those mistakes were 2-3-run homers is going to be, you're not going to win playoff games giving up 2-3-run homers. That was just too much to overcome.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Get ready for a stretch that will actually feel like fall. Plenty of sunshine for today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Mostly clear tonight, chilly lows near 30, some widespread frost developing. That frost will hang around early on Wednesday, otherwise sunny with highs near 60. Currently, it's 39.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking, pressured, and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Homeless veterans are facing a crisis in Chippewa Falls, and Brittany Carlone from Wisconsin Watch will be here to tell us a solution on the horizon and the Brewers results and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
This one should be good. Here we go. All right.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. He still isn't wearing a cowboy hat. I don't know what's up with that. I'm a little upset. Maybe he's got boots on. Maybe that's it.
I got the boots.
There we go. He's got the boots. He's the founding editor of Up North News. It's Pat Kreitlow.
That would be me. I think we're going to go visit the Fort Worth Stockyards today and get a feel for, you know, what those cowboys do with the longhorn steers and things like that. My daughter, who lives down here, can't wait to show it off. So
she's really excited about that.
She is. Well, I've seen some video when she's taken other guests there, so apparently it's a big deal. So I will be talking about cattle tomorrow, I promise. But I do have the boots. I actually do have a very good looking black cowboy hat. Just I don't have any need to wear it.
Yeah,
here. I'm not doing anything that's deserving of having to pack that thing away.
Oh, so. You didn't bring it?
I did not bring it.
Dude.
But, you know, I might see a better one. So
you might see a better one. I'll give you that.
I might have two cowboy hats by the time this is all said and done. Nice to have you back here. It's just about 7:07 right now. And coming up this hour, we're going to be talking to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association and dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser. We'll talk about the apple crop in Wisconsin. We'll talk about the trade war. We're going to talk a little bit about that in this segment as well, and the ways that the government shutdown is being made worse by people like Donald Trump and his transportation secretary, Sean Duffy. That's all coming up. First, let's check the mailbag here. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear skies, 40 degrees right now. Yesterday, he was doing paperwork for the mowing season. Took pictures of the farmers that leased my family's property that were chopping up corn. We talked about Reading Rainbow in the last segment, and Alicia was all over that in YouTube, saying Reading Rainbow is very much a millennial thing, so that's great. We were talking about the Ozzy Osbourne documentary coming out, and Tony puts up, there's just always something interesting about a guy who eats bats. You know, just saying. On Banned Book Week, which you can read about in the Up North News Daily newsletter, Alicia says that the Milwaukee Public Library has a great TikTok on banned books. The Milwaukee Public Library has had a lot of great TikToks. And so, yes, I would definitely be looking forward to reading about that. Let's see. Tony also was expressing his happiness with the great emotions of Jacob Mizorowski coming out of the bullpen yesterday. And Roger from Stevens Point says, I'm grateful for Andrew Vaughn's home run, which was the first inning equalizer in yesterday's game. Yes, absolutely. For folks that might have missed it, and, you know, some of us did go to bed early, but it felt like the game was well in hand. The Brewers defeated the Cubs last night in Game 2 of the National League Division Series. Final score 7-3, and all of the runs for the Brewers came on home runs this time, compared to Game 1, where the Brewers scored 9 times, and none of them came off of home runs. But yeah, you had the Andrew Vaughn 3-run homer in the bottom of the first to offset a Cubs 3-run homer in the top of the first. You had a William Contreras solo shot, and then you had Jackson Churio with his own 3-run homer to help the Brewers beat up the Cubs and take a 2-0 lead in the series. And so they are just one win away from going to the National League Championship Series, where they will face the winner of the Dodgers-Phillies series, which the Dodgers are up 2-0 on Philadelphia. It was a bullpen game for the Brewers because Brandon Woodruff is out with an injury, so Aaron Ashby opened things up. He did give up that 3-run homer in the first, but after that, how's this for a bullpen game? Nick Mears, Jacob Mizorowski, Chad Patrick, Jared Koenig, Trevor McGill, and Abner Uribe. 7 1/3 innings of shutout relief and allowed just one hit. And just a couple of base runners. Jacob Mizorowski threw 3 scoreless innings to earn the win. And he had pitches that topped out Parker at 104.3 miles an hour. And I know it sounds like hyperbole, but I really do. I'll say it again one of these times. You're going to hear the announcers going, "No, his arm fell off. His arm's just laying there in the grass." So, yep. I could see that happening.
It's like a Toy Story or something. Woody's arm falls off.
Exactly. And he just waves it and plugs it back in and throws it at 105 miles an hour, you know, the next time around. Could totally see that happening. I was a little concerned when he ran all the way to first base on a ground out to make the play himself, but he had acknowledged after the game he was just feeling so pumped up he was afraid he would overthrow Andrew Vaughn at first base, which, you know,
he's done before.
I could totally see that happening, and it would just, I would go crazy if that happened.
Yeah, he did the right thing. I was worried that he was going to blow out a hamstring when he jumped up in the air celebrating.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. I mean, because, again, you can get some really goofball injuries, like people who've stomped on home plate coming in from a home run and twist an ankle or something.
Did you see during the Phillies game before the Brewers game that an umpire definitely pulled a hamstring while making an out call?
No. Oh, no.
It was in all of its slow motion glory, too, because it was a replay review.
Embarrassing.
And he just goes, he punches him out, and all of a sudden he's like, oh!
Oh, no.
That sucks.
See, even if you're an umpire, you got to do those stretches, you know? No, it was one of those cases where, again, the Dodgers-Phillies game ran a little long, and so they started the Brewers-Cubs game over on TNT before moving it back to TBS. We're here at my daughter's place using one of those satellite systems that doesn't really, you know, you don't pick the channel so much as you pick the game, and then it goes to that channel. But, of course, if it's on a different channel, good luck going to find it. I mean, we did eventually find a way to find the right channel to do that. But it's one of those TV things that just always bugs me. It's like, just put the game where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you know? You should. But you know what? You don't need to worry about it when you listen to it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Funny that you should say that, because game three, oh, I've got my graphic is wrong on there. Game 3 of the series will be at Wrigley Field, and that will be tomorrow afternoon. The pregame will get started at 3:30 on several Civic Media stations, Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward, where you could conceivably see the Brewers sweep. Now, again, if they don't, then game 4 will be at Wrigley. And then, if needed, a deciding game 5 would be back at American Family Field come Saturday. So, again, it'd be nice to wrap it up tomorrow, but you just got to win one out of the next 3.
Yeah. I think as long as we win it at Chicago, I will be happy.
That would feel really nice. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could totally get into that. So, again, congrats to the Brewers for a nice victory there and giving us a little distraction from some of the realities of our headlines today, which include, you know, a trade war, that include a government shutdown and things like that. You had President Trump saying yesterday, indicating that he would be supportive of doing some kind of a bailout plan for America's farmers, since China's buying nothing. Not the $12 billion worth of soybeans, for example, that they typically buy in a year, but zero. And so all these farmers have no market to go to with their beans and corn and everything else. So Trump's quote from yesterday was, I'm going to do some farm stuff this week. That'd be the president of the United States telling you and making farmers feel real good, saying, I'm going to do some farm stuff this week. The stuff is probably going to be some kind of checks that get sent to farmers to, you know, keep them from going out of business. It's the same thing that happened in 2018 when Trump started a trade war with China. It cost taxpayers $20 billion to help support farmers. And by the way, we got nothing for that. I mean, eventually China and the U.S., they just resumed trade slowly and eventually. But at the time, China went and got their soybeans from Brazil. And guess what they're doing right now? They're getting their soybeans from Brazil and Argentina, a country we just sent billions of dollars to in a government bailout. And Republican lawmakers told the New York Times that they think that a potential farm bailout this time around won't cost $20 billion, but cost more like $50 billion. And what gets me is how they say this so nonchalantly, like, well, you know, it might cost us $50 billion. The people who used to be described as fiscal conservatives, but don't think twice about this. It does not occur to them to say, hey, maybe this guy, the president, yeah, he says he's in our party, but he's driving up the debt. He's driving up budget deficits. He's not accomplishing anything with these tariffs. We're Congress. We can actually limit these tariffs and find another way to negotiate better trade deals. We could maybe do that. But they don't. Everybody's just going along with what one guy says, no matter how uninformed it might be, no matter how harmful it might be, because he's their guy. Take the last shutdown, which not only had the big farm bailout, but you also had air travel that was starting to get gummed up as air traffic controllers and people working TSA and others stopped showing up for work because they weren't getting paid. They were using sick days, vacation days. They weren't taking extra shifts. You would think, again, maybe this is something we want to avoid again. But we are heading that way again. And that's according to the U.S. Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy, former congressman from up north, who knows a thing or two about bad budget deals and government shutdowns. And yet, what is he saying? He's basically threatening, promising that everybody's going to be facing travel delays. He says, and he's saying this in from the standpoint of safety, I guess. He says, quote, if we think there's issues in the airspace, we will shut it down. We will close it down. We will delay. That's his way, I guess, of saying to Democrats, you guys ought to blink. You guys ought to cave or else there's going to be air travel delays. When, again, the better course of action would be for people like Sean Duffy to acknowledge that Americans actually don't want massive health care cuts and the government shutdown that you have forced as a result of it. Because air traffic controllers, they are required to work through the shutdown, but they're only going to get paid retroactively whenever the shutdown ends. And it was their failure to show up for work last time around that led to the eventual deal that ended the government shutdown on Monday. Duffy said that officials had seen, quote, a slight tick up in sick calls from controllers since the current shutdown began last week. The FAA has already started to slow traffic, did so at three airports yesterday using a ground delay program. That's a traffic management tool in which the agency holds flights from departing other airports if they are headed for one with limited capacity. And as somebody who has flown this week and has had to sit on the tarmac for a while waiting for takeoff, I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to that possibility again later this week, flying back out of Dallas later in the week if this thing continues to drag on. And all indications are it will continue to drag on. We'll find out for sure in a live report from Washington, D.C. in our next hour when we talk to Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom and also author of the Below the Beltline Below the Beltway newsletter that you can get through Courier Newsroom. We'll talk to Cam Stevenson live from Washington, D.C. and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area about things that are happening in the Wisconsin state capitol. Again, that's all in our 8 o'clock hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes here, we will talk to Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart. A little more farm talk when we come back, especially emphasizing the apple harvest for this year. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Selling your home, it's one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You could go it alone, trying to navigate market trends, determine fair pricing, and tackle tricky negotiations on your own. You could second-guess every decision, wondering if you're doing it right. Then there's the showings, the offers, and the mountain of paperwork. Or you could work with the expertise of a realtor, here to guide and help protect as you make your next big move. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. Right by you.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this Monday, October 6th, 2025. Have your host, James, here. A big shout out to our friends over at Crockett Septic sponsoring this show for us. We greatly appreciate them. And want to send a big thank you to the Miss Wisconsin Rapids and Miss Wisconsin Rapids Teen Competition. They've been great helping us out, work with our producer, Laura, and stuff, and getting all these amazing guests on and talking to y'all. And we've got some great contestants in with us today. We have Madison and Devin with us, and we'll be talking to them in a moment, but I actually want to start off with Ruby Marty, our former Wisconsin Rapids teen and current volunteer. And Ruby, how you been?
I've been doing well. How about you?
Doing great. I have to say, and you would think I'd be used to this in almost 10 years of doing this and these great interviews and getting to talk to our pageant winners and stuff, but it always surprises me. Ruby, when Ruby first came in here, was a little bit like you guys, just a little more, just kind of a little hesitant almost, but excited. Now she just strolls in here like it's nothing. Like, hey, we're on the air. Okay, let's go ahead and talk. Just natural, just already organically grown into the job. You're doing a great job, Ruby. And I've heard really good things throughout the summer and different stuff you were up to. What have you been up to?
So, yeah, at June, I competed at state again as Miss River City's teen this year. Last year, I was Northern Lights, and the year before, Miss Wisconsin Rapids. But this year, I ended up placing as the first runner-up to our new Miss Wisconsin's teen, Natalie Pop, which was just thrilling. I was so excited for just making that big of an accomplishment. I had a ton of prep put in this year, honestly. And so being for that being able to pay off was really exciting for myself. And then since state and since summer, I've been working a lot on my CSI and just expanding that more. One of the biggest things that I've been able to do since state is I've become a marketing intern for the LENA program, which is a 10-week program that works to inform parents on the importance of talking with kids and just simply interacting with them right after birth. And so with that, I've been able to start working on some posts that are going to be going out on the LENA pages and my social media pages that are just really going to help inform parents on the great program that LENA is and all it has to offer, considering it's free for first-time families. And I think it's a really great organization to be working with. But then also on Sundays, I've had the chance to work with the Miss Wisconsin Rapids organization and help at those workshops. I get to help Meg, the teen director, with opening number and fitness. And that just really is a full circle moment for me, considering I was in their shoes not too long ago. And to be able to help other girls just kind of grow over these weeks from September into October into the actual competition. And what I think is really cool about Miss Wisconsin Rapids organization is that each girl is able to kind of have those workshops leading up to the competition. Not every local has that. So for me, being a little eighth grader when I competed and won the title of Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen, having those workshops really helped me grow into like the confident person I am today and feel comfortable walking into my interview on stage that day. And I think once you're talking to them, they would probably agree that the workshops are very helpful into helping each girl be their best possible self in the Miss America organization.
Ruby, as a reminder to the audience, what was your CSI again, your community service initiative?
Yeah, so mine is entitled Silence is Not Golden, Early Language Matters. And it's all about the importance of talking with your kids, communicating with them, and just interacting with them from right after birth.
Mm-hmm. It was a great one. I appreciated that. And I don't know that I've heard many people before or since really with that as a CSI. And I think it's a great one. And great to hear that you've been able to take that ball and run with it and find other people to be able to add to that cause for you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Have you had anything? And boy, I can't imagine. I'm not going to put you on the spot and say your favorite thing you did. But anything that you know you've been up to in the last year that really stands out to you that you were like, oh, this was fun. I like that. It's a tough one. I got to ask the hard-hitting questions on this one.
Not sure if I can think of one in specifics.
Yeah.
Miss Wisconsin Week as a whole is always a blast. Mm-hmm. So this year especially, I was able to connect with a lot of the new girls and help make them feel welcome at state, which was really fun. There were, I bet, like 80 to 90% of the people there were brand new competitors at state, which is really great to see and great to see the growth. So definitely one of my favorite parts about my year so far. But then also helping at those workshops, I've really loved to see each girl grow because this organization has been life-changing for me, and it's great to see it do the same for other women.
Very cool. And very well done, as always, on the air here, Ruby. I appreciate you. Thanks a lot for everything you put into our community. I'll have one last question for you before we wrap up. But
yeah,
do want to get to know the other ladies that are with us today. And I'd like you to give us your name and your grade and where what you'll be competing in. Just to introduce yourselves so we can have the audience put a voice to the name. We'll start at the end here.
So I am Madison Graff, and I'm a Miss contestant. I go to school at Mid-State Technical College. And my CSI is Look Local First, which is supporting small businesses.
Oh, very cool. Madison, we'll get more into that CSI in a bit. Thank you for being here.
My name is Devin Carter. I'm a freshman at Lincoln High School, and my CSI is Move Your Body, Transform Your Life.
Awesome one. A great choice, Devin. And thank you again for being here. It's good to see you again. Appreciate the time. And I'll ask you guys just a couple of random questions here. Like, why enter the pageant? What made you want to do this, Addison?
So I was a Cranberry Cutie, which was formerly the Princess program, and so I watched a lot of girls win and walk away with the title, and so that was always just a dream of mine. And then I competed twice as a teen, and now this is my second year as a Miss.
And Devin?
Going off of what Madison said, I also was a part of the Cranberry Cutie program, and I loved looking up to the older girls and seeing them get to win the stuff, and I always wanted to be a part of it as well.
Madison, what are some of the benefits you've found of being a part of the pageant?
I've learned a ton of interview skills, how to talk in public, and along with walking away with hundreds of scholarship dollars to go towards my education.
Devin?
It overall creates a lot of new friends and many people skills, because with all of the mock interviews and practices, it's helped me become a lot better at speech.
And as far as the talent portion, what will you be doing for the talent portion, Madison?
I will be tap dancing to Texas Hold'em by Beyonce.
Nice. Good choice. Oh, that's going to be a fun one to tap to, I bet, too. Oh, nice.
I will be performing a hip-hop dance from a mix of songs from an old movie series called Step Up.
Oh, man. Oh, you guys, great choices, you two. Those are both awesome. I'm a big fan of dance, so I love that. And I know how much, especially with competitions like these, dance goes over so well. Good choices. Very good choices, you two. Now, you did mention your community service initiative. Could you give that to us one more time and why you chose that?
So my community service initiative is Look Local First, which is supporting small businesses. So it is about going out and promoting the small businesses in the Wisconsin Rapids area, along with supporting them and really giving back to them.
My CSI is Move Your Body, Transform Your Life. Which
you were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin lawmakers frustrated at proposed fee increases coming from the Department of Agriculture. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We'll have details on what one state legislator's advising farmers to do. That's next.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
State Senator Pat Teston is the chair of the Senate Agriculture and Tourism Committee, and he is asking all livestock operators to speak out against proposed fee increases that are now being asked for by the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Some fees would go up as much as 1,700%. And because of a recent Supreme Court ruling, Teston says his hands are tied to try to change it.
There is virtually nothing I can do, and it is so frustrating. And I can only imagine for those individuals who work in this industry, who are going to have their pocketbooks detrimentally impacted. I can't even imagine the frustration that they're feeling right now. And so, we're trying to do what we can to raise awareness and encourage people to reach out to the department. And I'm hoping they reverse course, because this is absolutely a boneheaded maneuver.
Wisconsin Senator Pat Teston. Now, they're accepting comment at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection on these proposed livestock licensing fee increases until October 15th. If you want to find details, we've got them up on our website now, MidwestFarmReport.com. And you can also hear the rest of my conversation with Pat Teston on our playlist. Markets are next.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols, because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Monday, the barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese was down 4 at 175, and AA butter dropped 5.5 to 169.5 per pound. This morning, November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 6, 1697. December new crop corn up a penny at 422. November beans are up 2, 1019. July new crop wheat's unchanged, 555 a bushel. Just a quick market snapshot on a Tuesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Get ready for a stretch that will actually feel like fall. Plenty of sunshine for today, with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Mostly clear tonight, chilly, lows near 30, some widespread frost developing. That frost will hang around early on Wednesday, otherwise sunny with highs near 60. Currently, it's 39.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on! In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn. Badgers finish Michigan.
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by the Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers, how are they faring? The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Coming up in 1 hour, we'll be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, and he helps put together Civic Media's new daily newsletter. Sign up for it at civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. All right, always nice to welcome back in a couple of friends talking to us about Wisconsin agriculture. That, of course, would be Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from the Merrill area up in Lincoln County, and Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. Great to see you both, as always. We're going to get to a very plentiful and variety-filled apple crop coming up in just a bit here. But Hans, I also wanted to, of course, take note of the government shutdown and its impact on farmers. And then there's also some upbeat news about it being National 4-H Week. So let's get the not so happy stuff out of the way first here. A government shutdown makes for, you know, a lot of political headlines, but it's got real life impact. And what does that mean for farmers across America, for example, with the Farm Service Agency offices closed?
Well, it sort of stinks, Pat, because the Farm Service Agencies are our local connection to the federal government and any federal government programs and so forth. And one of the things that happens this time of the year, of course, is that there's a lot of corn and soybeans being harvested. And what a lot of guys will do is especially when prices are low, they harvest those commodities. And rather than sell them at harvest low prices, they will borrow against them through the Farm Service Agency. And because it helps cash flow. And right now, if you try and call the Farm Service Agency, you get a recording that says that they're not there. So it does. It's very difficult because we don't have that resource to work with at a time of the year when, you know, we sort of need it. And I think the other thing to that I'd like your listeners to understand is that, all those nameless, faceless, terrible bureaucrats that are getting laid off all the time are not just a bunch of people that live in Washington next to the Capitol. They're people that live in Wausau, Wisconsin, and in, you know, Chippewa Falls and all the places around. Our friends and neighbors are the ones who are right now sitting at home, and they would rather be at work. So it's not just the farmers that are being impacted, but it's the people in those offices.
Yeah, absolutely. And with those offices closed, it means farmers are not getting access to farm program signups, no disaster aid processing, no loan approvals, no access to market data that the government normally provides, and more. So I just wanted to get some of the real life impact of this ongoing shutdown. All right, it's 4-H week. Hans, will start with you and then over to Sheila. Talk about the significance of 4-H. Is it, again, for a city kid, they go, oh, that's something I've heard of, but was that something from the olden days of Wisconsin farming, or is that something still very relevant to rural life in Wisconsin today?
It's very relevant, and I think if you're a parent or a grandparent, please check out 4-H if you're not familiar with it, because there are just so many cool programs. Our kids have been in 4-H for, you know, years and years. And there's the usual things that people think of course, about bringing projects to the local county fairs and so forth. And that is a part of it. It's a big part of it. It's a really cool part of it. But there's also so many other things, like my children have taken advantage of really cool civic engagement type things and trips to, you know, exotic places like Washington, D.C. and New York and Philadelphia and so forth, and other places just right here in Wisconsin that I've chaperoned a couple trips for as well. And so it's a great opportunity for kids to learn leadership skills and really, you know, civic engagement and so forth. There's so many opportunities, educational opportunities and travel opportunities that 4-H offers that I think a lot of people just don't know about. And it's also a great place for grownups to get involved with, you know, with the rearing of our children as far as, you know, chaperoning these trips and so forth, because it does, by God, take a village.
It sure does. And Sheila, you know, for National 4-H Week, you talk as well about 4-H getting people ready for a career and frankly, just getting ready for life as well.
Absolutely. You know, it's all about celebrating our youth, helping them prepare for college and career and life readiness. You know, a recent study said that those children, those students involved with 4-H, likely to live life intentionally and with purpose, and three times as likely to participate in community service and volunteer in our communities. And as Hans mentioned, it's about leadership roles, planning events, running meetings, and organizing service projects. So support our local 4-H.
Absolutely. Again, for National 4-H Week. So we wanted to make sure that we made mention of those things. But let's also turn to something that's rather seasonal here. We have our share of apple orchards and products and varieties and things. And I mean, to be clear, I mean, it is a sliver of Wisconsin agriculture and, you know, national agriculture as well. But there's hardly anybody out there that wouldn't accept a slice of apple pie or have a glass of cider or, Sheila, just enjoy the experience of apple orchards in Wisconsin. So it may not be the biggest part of the ag industry, but it's one of the more visible ones and, frankly, one of the more enjoyable and delicious ones.
Absolutely enjoyable and delicious. And my favorite fall food is not only apple pie, but caramel apples. And, you know, traveling from orchard to see who has the best caramel apples, that's right up my alley. October is National Apple Month, and we celebrate that in promoting the consumption and appreciation of our Wisconsin apples. This started in 1904, but, you know, people enjoy eating fresh apples, picking apples from the tree, learning about the best ways to bake apple desserts, and just to experience apple cider donuts, fresh apple cider. So it's important for us to go out and support our family farms and pick up some apples along the way. There's some really cool apples up in your neighborhood, Pat. Apple Orchard, all on County Highway 00. Are you familiar with some of those orchards, Pat?
I have definitely seen them, and they are most certainly busy places this time of year. And so tell folks a bit more about what you can expect if you want to go visit some of these orchards.
Right. You have Bushel and Peck on Highway 00 in Chippewa Falls, and the Connell Family Orchard. Family Roots Orchard is the oldest orchard up in your neighborhood. And then there's Dixon's Apple Orchard. And it's really interesting about Mr. Dixon, Fred. He had started growing a famous champagne apple that he helps to create some apple ciders and some apple hard apple ciders with that champagne apple. And on our Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association website, we have a blog page that just was launched yesterday talking about all these different apple orchards, like the Little Farmer in Malone over in Prescott. If you want to take a drive, there's Young Acres. Avenue Orchard is up there in Eau Claire. Of course, in the Gaze Mills area, we have Sunrise Orchard. Sunrise Orchards that also have activities, and you can actually see them sorting and washing their apples and pressing that apple cider. Over in the Elkhorn area, we have Apple Barn Orchard and Winery. And you know, several of our orchards are also wineries, just like Sequest Orchard and Lattenbach Orchard up in Fish Creek. And then we have M&T Gibbsville Orchard in Sheboygan Falls. And then Heritage Orchard, they're known for their fresh apple cider in Chilton area.
Very
Do you
nice.
Like it's, apple cider, Pat and Hans?
I like apple cider, and I like the hard cider as well. I was just going to ask Hans about that, if he's got a particular favorite apple product.
A good hard cider goes a long way, you know, after a hard day's work. But I wanted to mention Helene's Hilltop Orchard is 2 miles from my place, and absolutely a beehive of activity this time of the year. They do a wonderful job. They got lots of trees and a bakery, and it's just a total hotspot in our area this time of the year.
Yeah.
I love seeing Olivia and her husband, and they do great farm-to-table dinners, and I have toured their farm, and it's a beautiful bakery. So if you have a chance to visit Helene's Hilltop, get out there and enjoy the orchard.
For the hard cider now, we're turning to the adult portion of the apple discussion here. Again, it's a fermented beverage made from apple juice when the yeast converts the apple sugars into alcohol. And so, again, you've got different types, different flavor profiles. You're using different varieties with them. And so, Sheila, it's not a surprise that a place that, you know, started with, you know, the beer industry, but now we have our share of wineries in the area, that, you know, cider would also be a natural byproduct of some of the many good things we produce in Wisconsin.
Yes, and, you know, our farmers are innovative and they're creative, and so they always take a look at what they are producing and how can they add value to their crops. And by producing hard apple cider, that is just opening another market for them to sell their products.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the variety of products and how to use them, it's been a while since I learned this, but it took me a while to appreciate that, you know, not all apple varieties are created equal, and something that you might like to eat, you know, as a plain apple is not necessarily the best one for a pie or for jelly or something like that. And I know you shared with me a rather detailed chart of all the different apple varieties you can get and all the different ways you can use them, which is not to say you can't use them for everything, but, you know, some are going to taste better than others, I would imagine.
Absolutely, you know, and some of them are across the board, because the chart was created by Sunrise Orchards and Gaze Mills. And so if you take a Honeycrisp apple, right across the board, they're perfect for everything. Eating, pie, sauce, baking, freezing, jelly, salad, and pickling. But if you take something like the Red Wisconsin Delicious Apple, they're known for eating and they're known for salads. So, you know, when you're going out to pick your apple, of course you want to pick for flavor, but also decide if you're buying your apples in bulk, maybe you're going to get a full bushel of apples. You want to look at how are you going to utilize those apples. And finding the apple guide variety and availability and uses chart is a perfect way to help you make your apples go a lot further and last all the way through the winter season.
Yeah, I will second properly. That. I will second that by noting that, it's something when you realize that red delicious apples are wonderful for eating, you know, right off the table there, but are not necessarily going to be the best thing to put in a pie, and then you discover something else that is. At the other end of the spectrum, you mentioned Honeycrisp is like perfect for everything. That's so true that I sometimes have to remind myself, Hans, to go shop for some other varieties. Man cannot live on Honeycrisp alone. Well, maybe I could, but you really should find out what else is the right thing for you. I've talked about Sherry's Apple Crisp being just amazing. Do you have a favorite, either a pie or something else that's your favorite apple product besides the beverages, Hans?
Well, I was going to say the hard cider. You took my answer. Look at me, Pat. Do I look like a guy that's averse to apple pie?
No.
Thank you.
You've got that all-American look to you as any dairy farmer would here in Wisconsin. And again, to learn more, you can always check out the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association website. And there's so many other resources to learn more about apples in Wisconsin. We definitely appreciate the diversion to visit a virtual orchard here for a little while. Hans, thank you. Sheila Everhart, thank you so much as always. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you for supporting Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism and our family farms. We appreciate Civic Media.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, too. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom live on Capitol Hill coming up. I'm Pat Kreitler.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
We're not comfortable until you are at Tri-City Services.
I can't believe it's fall already. Where did the summer go?
I know, it flies by faster every year.
Well, I suppose we better start checking off the fall to-do list before we know it, the snow...
Shh! Don't say the S word.
Snow?
Yes.
We live in Wisconsin, honey. It's coming. But we have to get the furnace checked before fall. Remember that awful noise it made last year? Who should we call?
Your parents just had Tri-City Services install their new AC and said they did a great job. Let's call them.
Here, let me Google them. Hey, their website is calltricity.com. Easy to remember.
Call Tri-City Services now to get a free quote on a new heating system. Visit TriCity.com or call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840 today to get a free quote on a new furnace and heat pump and get a free water heater before it gets too cold. Call Tri-City.com.
We want to thank our listeners for following the Rapids Report over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the Rapids Report at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
My CSI is Look Local First, which is supporting small businesses.
Oh, very cool. Madison, we'll get more into that CSI in a bit. Thank you for being here.
My name is Devin Carter. I'm a freshman at Lincoln High School. And my CSI is Move Your Body, Transform Your Life.
Awesome one. A great choice, Devin. And thank you again for being here. It's good to see you again. Appreciate the time. And I'll ask you guys just a couple of random questions here. Like, why enter the pageant? What made you want to do this, Addison?
So I was a Cranberry Cutie, which was formerly the Princess program. And so I watched a lot of girls win and walk away with the title. And so that was always just a dream of mine. And then I competed twice as a teen. And now this is my second year as a Miss.
And Devin?
Going off of what Madison said, I also was a part of the Cranberry Cutie program. And I loved looking up to the older girls and seeing them get to win the stuff. And I always wanted to be a part of it as well.
Madison, what are some of the benefits you've found of being a part of the pageant?
I've learned a ton of interview skills, how to talk in public, and along with walking away with hundreds of scholarship dollars to go towards my education.
And Devin?
It overall creates a lot of new friends and many people skills, because with all of the mock interviews and practices, it's helped me become a lot better at speech.
And as far as the talent portion, what will you be doing for the talent portion, Madison?
I will be tap dancing to Texas Hold'em by Beyonce.
Nice. Good choice. Oh, that's going to be a fun one to tap to, I bet, too. Oh, nice.
I will be performing a hip-hop dance from a mix of songs from an old movie series called Step Up.
Oh, man. Oh, you guys, great choices, you two. Those are both awesome. I'm a big fan of dance, so I love that. And I know how much, especially with competitions like these, dance goes over so well. Good choices. Very good choices, you two. Now, you did mention your community service initiative. Could you give that to us one more time and why you chose that?
So my community service initiative is Look Local First, which is supporting small businesses. So it is about going out and promoting the small businesses in the Wisconsin Rapids area, along with supporting them and really giving back to them.
My CSI is Move Your Body, Transform Your Life, which addresses the physical and mental benefits of keeping active, because it's really important in our youth and any ages to keep our body healthy by staying active.
For each of you with these CSIs, was there something or a reason behind why you chose them in particular? There's a lot of things out there that I know can bring our attention and pull out our heartstrings. For Madison, was there a reason why you chose this one?
I chose it because I love shopping and really going out and supporting your local businesses in the Wisconsin Rapids area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said.
I chose it because when I grew up, I was always in sports, and I've always known the importance of what it takes to keep your body physically and mentally ready, and it's just grown on me and become really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for that, Devin. Thank you. And as far as things you're looking forward to about the competition, is there anything, one thing in particular, or you don't have to say just one thing, but is there something about the competition you're looking forward to, Madison?
So I always love Tech Week when we're all together, but on competition day, I love performing my talent.
Mm-hmm. Devin?
I love Closet Day, where you get to go get all your outfits, but talent is definitely my favorite portion because it's when you get to express the part that you love.
Yeah, right on. Very cool. And Ruby, I'll bring you in for this final question here and everything, because I'd like to, if there are any kids out there listening and they would like to be a part of the pageant, or they've thought about it maybe and they just haven't made take the jump yet or whatever, what would you say to somebody to encourage them to be a part of the pageant? And I'll start with you, Madison.
I think you should just do it. Get out of your comfort, and we'll help you through every step of the way, whether that's picking out dresses or interview or picking out your CSI. We will help you every step of the way.
And Devin?
It really just helps you put yourself out there and is a really rewarding experience where you can meet many new friends and get a lot of new opportunities that you might not have had before.
Very cool. Very well said by both of you. Thank you. And Ruby?
Kind of like Madison said, just go for it. I know when I joined, like, I'm a very outgoing person, so it was something right up my alley. I knew I wanted to do it right when I heard a team program was being added. But if you're not like that and you're looking to grow those interview skills, or even just have the slightest hunch to compete, just go for it, because there's so many things you can get out of this experience. I've earned over $5,000 in scholarships as just a junior in high school, and have had the chance to go and compete at state and meet so many other title holders from across the state, grow so many other friendships. And if the reason is because of wardrobe, or you're not sure if you're going to have the interview skills, the Rapids organization is so great for that, because let me just tell you, the teen directors, and I'm sure the Miss directors as well, have a huge pageant closet that the girls are able to borrow stuff from for competition. You do not have to worry. They're going to get you more than enough stuff. So they're always making sure you feel prepared in the Miss Wisconsin Rapids organization. And those mock interviews, we had one last night. All of the girls actually were coming out very happy, I think, with how they did. Some were nervous, but afterwards it gave them a really good idea of what to expect. And so if you're thinking about competing, just do it, because there's so many people and so many volunteers, especially, who are ready to reach out and help you succeed.
Very well said. And I appreciate you bringing that up, Ruby. I think that especially one of the bigger things that was eye-opening to me about not knowing anything about pageants or anything going into this topic years ago was the idea that, no, this is for everybody. As a kid, I would have thought, oh, well, you had to have some certain amount of money to be able to do something like this or whatever. And that's never been the case, especially with our Miss Wisconsin Rapids pageant and the pageant's a part of that. If you want to be a part of this, they'll have you. The end of story. They'll make it work and encourage you to do that, especially because the years and years of doing this, one of the main things that come out of this to me, I never get tired of, is the fellowship, the way that you guys just end up supporting each other, the friendships that are made, and certainly the confidence that is built from doing something like this. You guys are going to go on to do amazing things, whatever you end up doing. And while we may not know exactly what you might do, we're going to know that you're going to want some confidence with it. And you built some of that confidence with this, not only doing silly interviews and answering my silly questions and everything, but doing the pageant itself, being out there in the public like Ruby has done and everything, it's only going to make you stronger with that. And I really think it's one of the braver things a kid can do, being a part of this pageant and everything. I really do admire it. And I appreciate you all for being here. Thank you for the time. I want to wish you good luck. Break a leg out there. Have fun, okay?
Thank you.
Keep in mind, the Miss and Teen competitions for Miss Wisconsin Rapids will be taking place October 25th over at the Performing Arts Center. Encourage you to get your tickets and find out more at MissWisconsinRapids.org. MissWisconsinRapids.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well and cheer on these amazing kids. And we'll have more contestants joining us right here on the Rapids Report, WFHR.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Sick outs are mounting, and the Transportation Secretary is warning air traffic controllers to keep working, despite the government shutdown now entering its seventh day. This woman got stuck at the airport in Denver.
We're coming from Nashville, and so we already had like a 2.5 hour flight. That one was delayed, and then this one is further delayed. We just want to go home.
The Supreme Court takes up a Christian counselor's challenge to a Colorado law banning conversion therapy for teenagers. CBS's Jan Crawford.
The Trump administration is supporting the therapist here. She says the law violates her free speech. But Colorado says it's not about speech. States can regulate the practice of health professionals.
A pilot, a nurse, and a paramedic are in critical condition after a medical helicopter crashed on a highway in Mento, California. Fire Chief Justin Sylvia.
The lucky portion for us, I'd say, is the fact that the helicopter did not catch on fire, because then we would have an additional problem.
CBS News Brief. I'm